Dave Emery here. This is For the Record, program number 830. Machiavelli 2.0, the Paris attacks, and the Muslim Brotherhood. This is being recorded on January 18th of the year 2015. The news the past week has been, or really more than the last week, has been dominated, understandably, by the terror attacks in Paris, in which a number of editors and cartoonists for the French satirical publication Charlie Hebdo were executed in a well-planned terrorist incident by some French Muslims who had joined the jihadist cause, but more importantly for our purposes here, were affiliated with Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, and before that, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and also ISIS, the Islamic State in Syria, also called the Islamic State in the Levant, or in ISIS and the Levant, or the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. Both are very close to the Muslim Brotherhood. We will talk about that more in the broadcast. Now, this is going to be a very ambitious program. I don't know, frankly, if I'm going to be able to succeed in tying together as many, for the time being, loose investigative and ideological and journalistic ends as I am going to attempt to tie together. However, I think in terms of grasping not only these very important events, but really the complexities that underlie them, I think it is imperative that I try, and I want to refer listeners most emphatically to the SpitfireList.com website. Every program that I do is turned into a long article-length description featuring all of the material that I excerpt on the air, and often supplemental material that I don't have time to include in the original broadcast. Beyond that, the SpitfireList.com website, all of the information on which is available for download for free, has my entire life's work, a small library of easy-to-download PDF files of old anti-fascist books, and there is a link you can subscribe to get the very important updating comments from a brilliant contributing editor codenamed Terra Fractal, and many other expert contributors as well. The combination of the For the Record program, the material on the website, and the vital updates from Terra Fractal and other expert contributors make this arguably the best source of information about the subject material. Now, again, this past week saw a number of journalists, cartoonists, and editors with the Charlie Hebdo, that's C-H-A-R-L-I-E, H-E-B-D-O publication in Paris, which had been the target of a firebomb before. They were executed in a well-planned military-style terrorist attack. They had been threatened with violence before because they had put cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad in their issues, and that is viewed as sacrilegious and blasphemous by some elements of the Muslim faith. Really, what is at the foundation of this is the Muslim Brotherhood, because the version of Islam that has come to be accepted to a large extent is not, as far as I can tell, the Islam that was intended by the Prophet Muhammad, but rather a violent and, in the case of the Muslim Brotherhood, an explicitly fascistic interpretation or permutation of Islam that really is at variance with many of the teachings of Muhammad, who did not, by the way, advocate killing people who were portraying images or doing other things that are actually proscribed in Islam. Well, we don't have time to go into that. But what we do have time to go into is the reality, a number of realities that have escaped the public notice. And we're going to review briefly articles talking about the links between Al-Qaeda, a Muslim Brotherhood offshoot, and ISIS, an apparent Muslim Brotherhood offshoot, and these attacks. And furthermore, we are going to be talking about, in a big way, in terms of the view, the Muslim Brotherhood's corporatist economic ideology. And although we are told that the Muslim Brotherhood is, you know, an alien foreign terrorist, are, you know, alien foreign terrorist elements. In fact, they are offshoots of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is not the moderate organization it has been portrayed as being in far too much of the West. In fact, it is an explicitly fascist Islamic organization, and the Muslim Brotherhood should not be confused with or equated with Islam in general, and that is a confusion that they go out of their way to implement. More about that later, particularly a group called the Council on American Islamic Relations. It has very successfully portrayed itself as sort of like a Muslim version of the NAACP. In fact, CAIR is deeply associated with the Muslim Brotherhood and is little more really in practice than a Muslim Brotherhood front organization. And we're going to be talking about that later. We're going to be talking about the development of what appears to be leaderless jihad, rather like an Islamic fascist implementation of the leaderless resistance strategy that has been implemented by American and European white supremacist and Nazi and fascist elements for quite some time. What is missing, a lot that actually is missing in the discussion of the Paris attacks and related subjects, predictably the media have engaged in their long-standing and frankly at this point threadbare ideological hot air wafting of saying, you know, is Islam really a violent religion, or are Muslims really violent, or why don't more Muslims do more to prevent these kinds of things or protest against them, blah, 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 blah. In fact, what they should be paying attention to is that these groups, ISIS, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and other organizations are offshoots of the Muslim Brotherhood, the Islamic Circle from Pakistan, offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. And so many of the violent acts that we have been seeing that are being, the windheads in our media, just being all across the spectrum from the mainstream press, who still adhere to a political correctness on one hand and a blind eye to the Brotherhood on the other. The so-called progressive sector are basically running interference for the Brotherhood. And then you've got the right-wing press, which capitalizes on these kinds of things and lumps Obama in with it, ignoring the profound links of not only the corporate America, but specifically the Bush administration, Grover, Norquist, Karl Rove, and others, to the Muslim Brotherhood and those elements targeted by the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002. So again, this inadequate discussion of, you know, is Islam a violent religion? You know, are Muslims inherently violent? You know, why don't more Muslims do more to prevent these kinds of attacks and so forth, is ignoring the fact that these groups are not, quote, Muslim, unquote. Of course they are Muslims, but they are derivatives of an Islamic fascist organization, the Muslim Brotherhood, that was allied with the Axis powers in World War II, and that then was nurtured by elements of Western intelligence, including CIA, in the Cold War period, and where they were used as anti-communist and, after the end of the Cold War, pro-corporatist cadre. Three key things ignored here. Again, the terrorist group's offshoots of the Muslim Brotherhood, elements of Western intelligence, as we have seen and as we will review, continue to use the Muslim Brotherhood as proxy warriors against Russia and apparently China as well, and they are being used as Sunni proxy warriors against some of the countries like Syria in the Middle East. And they also have been used against Russia in the Caucasus, as I mentioned. Another thing that is ignored is that the corporatist economic philosophy of the Muslim Brotherhood is absolutely in sync, so to speak. It corresponds very effectively and coordinates very effectively with the corporatist philosophy of many of the ruling elites around the world and the transnational corporations. Mussolini, who invented the term and arguably the system of fascism, said, quote, "Il fascismo e il corporatismo." Fascism is corporatism. And the corporatist economic philosophy of the Muslim Brotherhood is what endears it to powerful American and European and transnational corporate interests, as well as corporatist interests in their own respective countries. The original title of this, or the first part of the title, Machiavelli 2.0, alludes to a case of very strange political bedfellows that we will talk about in this program. We've talked about it at considerable length in the past, such as, for the record, 456, about Nazi and fascist connections to 9/11. We've talked about it in our discussions, our miscellaneous archive show, about the third position. We've talked about it in connection with the Boston Marathon bombing and other programs as well. The fact of the matter is that the Islamic fascists of the Muslim Brotherhood and the various terrorist sub-organizations like Al-Qaeda, like Hamas, like ISIS, like Palestinian Islamic Jihad actually have, in addition to an ideological similarity and affinity with corporate interests, they also have working operational relationships with some of the very American and European fascists who gain political capital from railing against the Muslims, the Islamists, etc. The attacks in Paris have given greater political momentum to organizations like the Front National in Paris, a French fascist organization headed up by Marine Le Pen, the daughter of Jean-Marie Le Pen, the founder of the organization. The Sweden Democrats in Sweden are gaining a lot of credibility because of this as well. They were financed to a large extent by Carl Lundstrom, an associate of David Duke, and the person who owned the controlling interest in the Pirate Bay website on which WikiLeaks held forth. As we will see, we're going to be talking about Tayyip Erdogan, the Prime Minister of Turkey. When the Muslim Brotherhood, I should say when the Arab Spring was going on a few years ago, I call it the Muslim Brotherhood Spring, the media were full of hosannas and everybody was going, oh, isn't this terrific? You know, Egypt is free, the Middle East is going to be free. And they, in their naivete, saw a flowering of democracy and a parting of the clouds of oppression and depression, and they saw just wonderful things coming from this. And I said, no, this is an intelligence operation by the fascist element within U.S. intelligence, and the Bush administration. It was actually begun during the closing days of George W. Bush administration, and I said that it is aimed at bringing to power the Muslim Brotherhood, and that the Obama administration, Jews and Israel, and in particular Russia and China, ultimately the U.S. itself, will be victims of this. And things have so far in many ways played out, as I said. Sure, the Muslim Brotherhood came to power in Egypt. One of the things that people were saying was that, well, this will be a moderate Islamic democracy like that of Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey. And I pointed out in the last three of my shows about the Arab Spring, all of which were subtitled Turkish Taffy, that in fact Erdogan was no moderate at all. He was a Muslim Brotherhood fascist, although initially he made a great show of pretending to the contrary. He has followed in the footsteps of his predecessor and political mentor, Mr. Erbakan, E-R-B-A-K-A-N, first name N-E-C-M-E-T-T-I-N. I'm probably mispronouncing many of these names, but Mr. Erbakan, in fact, actively networked with Jean-Marie Le Pen of the Front National. They were introduced by Ahmed Huber, one of the directors of the Bank Al Taqwa, one of the many areas where we see the merging of Islamic and traditional European fascism dating back to the World War II period. Now, again, this might seem like an odd thing. Why in hell would an Islamic reactionary like Mr. Erbakan be hooking up with Jean-Marie Le Pen, whose organization has made a great deal of political capital from its anti-Muslim / anti-immigrant stand, basically ideological stand? Well, in fact, the coordination between the two of them are really not that surprising, because the European and also American sort of street-level fascist organizations have a lot in common with their Islamic street-level fascist counterparts in the Muslim Brotherhood. A, they hate Jews, they hate gays, they are not real big on black people. In practice, Islam has been very oppressive of black people. Arab Muslims are enslaving black African Muslims to this day in Sudan and Mauritania. They don't believe in women's rights. And we're going to take a look at Erdogan, by the way, who's come out of the closet, so to speak. He, in an official address, said, "Women are not men's equals," which is pretty interesting. That sounds moderate to me. More about that later. But again, the European fascists who are gaining gravitas from this, and their Muslim Brotherhood associates in these Muslim Brotherhood offshoot terrorist organizations. They don't like gays, they don't like women, they don't like blacks, they don't like Jews, they don't like democracy, and furthermore, moving up to the ideology of their corporate and institutional sponsors, including elements in the intelligence community, they make very good proxy warriors because they believe in the institutionalization of great wealth, and they believe in corporatist economics. Again, Mussolini said, "Il fascismo e il corporatismo." Fascism is corporatism, and they believe in that. So another thing that I should mention before we launch into the excerpts, when Ahmed Huber of Bank Al Taqwa helped to coordinate the European and American fascist right with the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamists, they developed a mutual interest in what they called a fatherland concept. The idea was that everybody would go to their respective, quote, fatherland, unquote. So Sweden for the Swedes and Germany for the Germans and France for the French and all over the Muslim world, Egypt for the Egyptians, Morocco for the Moroccans, etc., etc. In reality, that's not going to be a very practical thing to do. It, however, does have some very clear historical precedents of black nationalists, including people like Louis Farrakhan and Marcus Garvey, networked with the Ku Klux Klan. You would not think that would be a go, so to speak, but in fact, they formed at least a superficial agreement that, yep, you know, the blacks should go back to Africa and leaving North America to the whites. This is a somewhat similar concept. And so even as the attackers are gunning down people at Charlie Hebdo or the people who were murdered at a kosher delicatessen, and even as the Front National, now led by Jean-Marie Le Pen's daughter Marine, they are capitalizing on this thing. See, this is what we were warning about. We told you about this. So basically, join with us. We are your only hope. And as long as the mainstream political parties in the West and the so-called progressive sector in particular remain blind to the very real presence of Islamic fascism and lump Islamic fascists from the Muslim Brotherhood and their terrorist offshoots like Al-Qaeda, like ISIS, as we will talk about, and others together, they are paving the way for the far-right parties who point the accusing finger saying, see, look what happened at Charlie Hebdo. This is what we were warning about. We are your only hope. We are your protection. Join with us. Now, in turn, the Muslim fascists of the Muslim Brotherhood point to the xenophobia and increased bias of the European and American fascists and say, you see, this is what we were warning about. You will never be accepted in the West. They will always hate you. They will always deny you your rights. We are your only hope. Join with us, you see. So it becomes a very, they become best of enemies, so to speak. It is a Machiavellian construct, and it is very effective. By the way, the German power word for power is Macht, M-A-C-H-T. It is derived from Machiavellian, and understanding Machiavelli and the Prince will give you a good insight into this. Now, again, this is ambitious. It may not work. I'm going to fill in as many of the blanks as I can. Now, launching into the main body of, for the record, 830, Machiavelli 2.0, the Paris attacks in the Muslim Brotherhood. There have been a number of articles in the media, and these are in the description for this show, talking about the links between the Paris attackers and Al-Qaeda in Iraq and Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. Al-Qaeda, as we have spoken about so many times, is an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. It was used by Western intelligence as a very effective proxy warrior cadre in Afghanistan. It was then basically used in the Balkans against the former Yugoslavia. It is being used as we speak in the Caucasus and in Chechnya in particular. The Boston Marathon bombing appears to be blowback from that. There is also indication that elements of Muslim Brotherhood being used by Western intelligence are active in Xinjiang province in China as well. We will talk about that a little bit later. And also, ISIS, as we will see, appears to be a Muslim Brotherhood offshoot as well. Some of the articles talking about this, ABC News of January 7th, 2015, had an article, Youngest Suspect in Charlie Hebdo Attack Turns Himself In, by Dan Good, Terry Moran, and Megan Keneally, K-E-N-E-A-L-L-Y. And skipping down, of the Kouachi brothers, K-O-U-A-C-H-I. Kouachi, along with six others, was sentenced in May of 2008 to 3 years in prison for terrorism in Paris. All seven men were accused of sending about a dozen Frenchmen to join Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, after funneling them through radical establishment in Syria and Egypt. French authorities believed Kouachi had been planning to go to Syria for training in 2005. Amadi Koulibaly, I may be misspelling, Koulibaly, C-O-U-L-I-B-A-L-Y, an article from The Guardian of January 11th, 2015, by Julian Borger, B-O-R-G-E-R. Paris gunman Amadi Koulibaly declared allegiance to ISIS. The gunman who killed four people in a Parisian kosher grocery store and a policewoman pledged allegiance to Islamic State in a video published online on Sunday, 2 days after his death. In the seven-minute video, Amadi Koulibaly is described as a, quote, soldier of the caliphate, unquote, and is filmed declaring allegiance to the ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And another article that goes into more detail, I'm going to simply, I have included long excerpts of this in the description. I'm simply going to read the headline and credits, and you can read about this from the New York Times of January 11th of 2015. Jihadism born in a Paris park and fueled in the prison yard. It's by Jim Yardley, and again talks about the links between the gunman in the two attacks and Al-Qaeda and ISIS as well. A very important statement was made by someone who is arguably the most important of the Muslim Brotherhood imams, that is Youssef Qaradawi, very closely associated with the Bagal Taqwa, by the way. And we're going to read an excerpt of a post from the Global Muslim Brotherhood Watch of October 21st, of 2014. Global Muslim Brotherhood Watch feeds along the lower right-hand side of the front page of the SpitfireList.com website, and you can subscribe to the RSS feeds as well. There's a link to do that at the top of the description for the record 830 on the SpitfireList.com Muslimbrotherhood.com website. So again, from Global Muslim Brotherhood Watch of October 21st of 2014, featured, Yousef Qaradawi says ISIS leader was once Muslim Brotherhood. First English translation of statement. The Global Muslim Brotherhood Daily Watch has discovered what appears to be the first English translation of the video in which Global Muslim Brotherhood leader Yousef Qaradawi can be seen referring to what is almost certainly Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and explaining that he was once a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. By the way, he's the leader of ISIS. Continuing. At 044 of the video posted on the brotherhoodwatch.co.uk website, Qaradawi refers to, quote, this youngster, unquote, who once belonged to the Muslim Brotherhood, but desiring leadership, and after a period in prison, al-Baghdadi is thought to have spent 5 years in an American detention facility, went on to join the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or ISIL, and ISIS. It would appear that al-Baghdadi joins the ranks of other infamous terrorist leaders such as Ayman al-Zawahiri, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and Khalid Mashallah, who once belonged to the Muslim Brotherhood before going on to joining leading terrorist organizations. In the video, Qaradawi also refers to unidentified, quote, youngsters, unquote, from Qatar, who also joined ISIS. What Qaradawi is doing here, basically, is implementing what is known as the plausible deniability strategy. Talking about someone here, in this case, a terror leader like Mr. al-Baghdadi as, quote, ex-unquote Muslim Brotherhood, is like talking about Ayman al-Zawahiri, the leader of al-Qaeda, as ex-Muslim Brotherhood, or Osama bin Laden as ex-Muslim Brotherhood. It's like saying an ex CIA officer, or ex-CIA agent. That is a highly questionable concept. And one of the things that really, I think, impedes the understanding of an awful lot of analysts is the fact that they are Muslims. And even though they give lip service to viewing Muslims as equals, they don't really, and it never occurs to them that Muslims can be just as smart or even smarter than Westerners. They know how to practice plausible deniability. I think before we continue, it might be worth underscoring that for all of the lip service that is given in mainstream media, and in particular in the so-called progressive sector, to accepting Muslims as equal and defending their civil liberties, in fact, I think, particularly with the progressive sector and elements of the mainstream media, their view of Muslims is actually a grotesque form of Orientalism. Translates roughly as, ah, yes, our quaint little brown-skinned brother, Muslim brothers and sisters, they are so wonderful with their beards and their hijabs, and we do love them so. Actually, they don't really accept them as equals, and it never occurs to them that the Muslims might be a hell of a lot smarter than they are, which is actually quite true. Their professed affinity with and sympathy for Muslims is actually a condescending form of cultural chauvinism and Orientalism, and their attitude, they handle Muslims rather as though they were some species of exotic tropical insect being exhibited in a terrarium. And it never occurs to them that the Muslims might be smarter than they are. In this case, what Qaradawi is doing is practicing plausible deniability. Because again, what is at issue here is not Islam. Is Islam a violent religion? Are Muslims violent? Why don't more Muslims criticize this? What is at root here is fascism. In this case, an Islamic fascism of the Muslim Brotherhood, which in turn is actively joined with corporate fascism and with the xenophobic speech fascists of organizations like the Front National in France. Interesting enough, one of the most insidious of the Muslim Brotherhood front organizations in the United States is an organization called CAIR, C-A-I-R, not to be confused with the United Nations organization of the same name, or the CAIR organization that is a jihadist organization that helped to support jihadism in Afghanistan and then switched its target to Chechnya. We talked about that in For the Record 773. CAIR, C-A-I-R, it stands for the Council on American-Islamic Relations. It has worked very hard and has been very successful in portraying itself as an Islamic version of the NAACP, as a pro-Muslim civil rights organization. In fact, it is inextricably linked with the Muslim Brotherhood and basically is a little more in reality than a Muslim Brotherhood front organization. Recently, the United Arab Emirates designated CAIR as a terrorist organization, which no doubt put a few white hairs in the beards of the leaders of CAIR. It will be interesting to see. Generally, the so-called progressive sector immediately blames these things on, quote, Zionists, unquote, and they are probably, even though there are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world, the so-called progressive sector, with the Orientalism that I alluded to earlier, sees them as little more than stick figures to be manipulated by Western intelligence or the NSA or whoever, and that dog won't hunt. The end result of a lot of this will be the end result desired by the strategy of tension when global fascism kicks in. Yeah, boy, there's going to be a restriction of civil liberties and a restriction of free speech, but the so-called progressive sector and the conspiracy crowd are missing this fundamentally. So it's going to be interesting to see how they blame the United Arab Emirates labeling CAIR and, by the way, the Islamic Society of North America, another Muslim Brotherhood front, as terrorist organizations of CAIR. Global Muslim Brotherhood Watch of November 17th of 2014. CAIR says UAE designation as terrorist, quote, shocking and bizarre, unquote. They're shocked, shocked. The Council on American-Islamic Relations, or CAIR, has reacted to its inclusion on a list published by the UAE that designates as terrorists a large group of organizations in the Middle East, Europe, and the United States. According to a CAIR statement, it finds the UAE designation shocking and bizarre, unquote. Skipping down. The Council on American-Islamic Relations, or CAIR, describes itself as a, quote, grassroots civil rights and advocacy group and as, quote, America's largest Islamic civil liberties group, unquote. CAIR was founded in 1994 by three officers of the Islamic Association of Palestine, part of the U.S.-Hamas infrastructure at the time. Documents discovered in the course of the terrorism trial of the Holy Land Foundation confirmed that the founders and current leaders of CAIR were part of the Palestine Committee of the Muslim Brotherhood, and that CAIR itself is part of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood. In 2008, the then-deputy leader of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood acknowledged a relationship between the Egyptian Brotherhood and CAIR. In 2009, a U.S. federal judge ruled, quote, the government has produced ample evidence to establish the associations of CAIR, ISNA, and NAIT with HLF, the Islamic Association for Palestine, or IAP, and with Hamas, unquote. CAIR and its leaders have a long history of defending individuals accused of terrorism by the U.S. government, often labeling such prosecutions as, quote, a war on Islam, unquote, and have also been associated with Islamic fundamentalism and anti-Semitism. The organization is led by Nihad Awad, its long-standing executive director, and one of the three original founders. A couple of points here I want to make. There has been a great deal of heating up on the racial front, so to speak, here in the U.S. One of the focal points of that accelerating temperature has been the Ferguson, Missouri shooting of Michael Brown. I suspect there may very well be some intelligence elements involved with that. Al Sharpton, who has showed up, was alleged in an article in the San Francisco Examiner by Warren Hinkle to have worked for the CIA in Grenada. If the allegation wasn't sourced, that was a mainstream Hearst newspaper, I'd be surprised if Hinkle didn't have some solid documentation of that. But in any event, if that allegation is correct, it certainly stands to reason that Sharpton would still be working for the agency. He certainly has been documented as being an FBI informant before. And here showed up the autopsy that was commissioned by the Brown family, was conducted by Dr. Michael Bodden, who he endorsed the single bullet theory for the House Select Committee on Assassinations, investigating the assassination of President Kennedy. Certainly, there doesn't have to be an op to get cops to shoot black people. However, what is coming in on the heels of that makes me, frankly, very suspicious. And one of the organizations that has come in on the heels of that is CARE. And an article about that from their website on November 25th of 2014. CARE calls for national action on racism after Ferguson grand jury decision, unquote. The Washington-based Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE, the nation's largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization, today called for a national action, unquote, to address issues of racism in the aftermath of a Missouri grand jury's decision to not invite a police officer who killed Michael Brown, an unarmed African-American teenager who was shot to death in August. CARE also questioned the problematic, unquote, grand jury process that resulted in a failure to indict the officer. So again, note that a documented Muslim Brotherhood front organization masquerading as a civil rights organization, probably looking to expand its popularity and to capitalize on the Michael Brown Ferguson incident, has basically come out as an advocate for the Michael Brown side. And again, the CARE organization is not an Islamic NAACP. It is more like the Islamic Falange or the Islamic Fascisti or the Islamic NSDAP. It is an ideologically fascist organization. It is Brotherhood, and they track back to the Axis. Another interesting thing, too, was that Ismail Brinsley, the apparently very mentally disturbed fellow who gunned down two New York City cops, thereby further raising the racial front temperature in the country and provoking a huge confrontation between New York Mayor de Blasio, Bill de Blasio, and the New York City police force. He apparently had fallen under the sway of the Muslim Brotherhood. I want to note a couple of things here, a couple of very, very, very strong caveats. Mr. Brinsley on his Facebook page claims to have worked for the Islamic Society of North America. That is a documented Muslim Brotherhood front organization. There is a lot of BS on people's Facebook pages. They're not vetted. I would not necessarily view him at all as having worked for ISNA, although he may have. More likely, I would think he went to a couple of their meetings and was familiar with some of their literature and fell under their sway. Although, for all I know, maybe he did actually work for ISNA. The article I'm about to cite comes from a conservative site, a very good one, by the way, called Jihad Watch by Robert Spencer from December 23rd of 2014. New York Police Department cop killer worked for Hamas-linked Islamic Society of North America. Again, he certainly was in their sway to an extent. The fact that he said he worked for them on his Facebook page, I would not view as definitive. And a strong caveat, although the information presented by Charles C. Johnson was very accurate. Charles C. Johnson is not someone with credibility. He's the classic broken clock that is right twice a day, and this was one of those times. But a huge, huge caveat. If you're going to deal with Charles C. Johnson, get yourself some holy water and hang garlic in your windows, okay? Because he is a bad one. Not to be confused with Charles Johnson of Little Green Footballs. Now, of Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch, NYPD cop killer worked for Hamas-linked Islamic Society of North America. The Muslim New York NYPD cop killer Ismail Abdullah Brinsley worked for a Muslim Brotherhood front group, according to his Facebook page. GotNews.com has confirmed and exclusively discovered that Brinsley went by another name, Ismail Abdullah Muhammad, and that he worked for the Islamic Society of North America. Again, He was in their sway. He may have worked for them. I would not view the fact that he claimed to have worked for them on his Facebook page as definitive. But he was obviously in their sway. I would also note that a mosque that he visited was the Masjid at Taqwa, a mosque that has been linked to terrorist and anti-police activity. From a conservative blog, the Daily Caller of Freudian slip of the Daily Caller, C A L L E R, of December 23rd of 2014, an article by Chuck Ross, R O S S. NYC cop killers' undiscovered social media accounts show Islamic side. The abandoned YouTube channel of cop killer Ismail Bud Brinsley contains a video showing him heading to pray at Brooklyn's Masjid at Taqwa, a mosque that has been linked to terrorist and anti-police activity. And more about that. And again, this is the guy that gunned down the two New York City cops. And thereby actually eclipsed the outrageous behavior of the New York City Police Department with things like choking to death Mr. Garner and other things. They shot a guy to death a number of years ago, Mr. Diallo, for carrying a concealed wallet without a license. I think they shot him something like 19 times. Anyway, not to say that the cops are bad. Some of them are. The situation is being polarized. Watch out for Al Sharpton. If, in fact, Warren Hinkle's allegation that he worked for the CIA is true, he's in there pouring gasoline on these fires. He certainly is doing that. I wonder if that is part of an agenda. From the NewYorkCity.gov website of September 10th of 2014, more about the Masjid at-Taqwa Mosque attended by, at least at some point, by Mr. Brinsley. The NYPD's investigation of certain individuals associated with plaintiff Masjid at-Taqwa was based upon information about their lengthy history of suspected criminal activity, some of it terroristic in nature. Skipping down. Certain individuals associated with Masjid at-Taqwa have historical ties to terrorism. The mosque's Imam Siraj Wahaj was named by the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York as an unindicted co-conspirator in a plot to bomb a number of New York City landmarks in the mid-1990s. Omar Abdel Rahman, known as the Blind Sheik, who was serving a life sentence in federal prison for his role in the landmarks plot lectured at Masjid at-Taqwa. Wahaj testified as a character witness for Abdel Rahman during Abdel Rahman's terrorism trial. Wahaj also testified as a character witness for Clement Hampton L., a Masjid at-Taqwa attendee who was convicted as one of the Blind Sheik's co-conspirators in the landmarks plot. By the way, the Blind Sheik was also supported by Mohammed Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood, former president of Egypt, put in power by the Muslim Brotherhood Spring, or as I call it, the Arab Spring, or as I call it, the Muslim Brotherhood Spring. Again, a U.S. intelligence operation. Now, about the Muslim Brotherhood, we're going to read from a review of a book, Dollars for Terror, from Publishers Weekly. This from 2000. So again, this is before September 11th. In a provocative expo, Swiss TV journalist La Baviere argues that the real threat to the West from radical Islamic fundamentalism comes not from Iran or Iraq, but from America's solid allies, Saudi Arabia, and neighboring oil monarchies. Parenthetically, many of them have now officially turned against the Brotherhood because the Brotherhood is trying to overthrow them and take power in those countries. But they used the Brotherhood, basically, they financed the Brotherhood to take attention, malevolent attention off themselves, and also to finance jihad in places like Afghanistan and the Caucasus and the Balkans and now in China and elsewhere. Based on his four-year investigation, La Baviere charges that Saudi Arabia is the principal financial backer of extremist Islamist movements around the world. The linchpin in this operation, he states, is Saudi billionaire Osama bin Laden, trained by the CIA, who recruited, armed, and trained, in turn, Arab volunteers to fight the Soviet army in the Afghanistan war, thereby strengthening the totalitarian Muslim Taliban regime. Bin Laden, who, according to the author, maintains close ties with the Saudi and Pakistani secret services, now bankrolls terrorist training camps in Afghanistan and abet Islamist extremist movements in Egypt, Yemen, Somalia, South Africa, Algeria, and elsewhere. Veterans of the Afghan Holy War have been implicated in the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center in New York City and the attempted murder of Egyptian President Mubarak in 1996. In Rob Evere's riveting, often shocking analysis, the U.S. is an accessory in the rise of Islam because it manipulates and aids radical Muslim groups in its short-sighted pursuit of its economic interests, especially the energy resources of the Middle East and the oil, the mineral-rich former Soviet republics of Central Asia. Rob Evere shows how radical Islamic fundamentalism spreads its influence at two levels, above board through investment firms, banks, and shell companies, and clandestinely through a network of drug dealing, weapons smuggling, and money laundering. This important book sounds a wake-up call to U.S. policymakers. Again, that was a review by Publishers Weekly in May of 2000. More from Dollars for Terror itself. Many times over, American, European, and Arab diplomats and public officials advise me to follow the trail of the Dollars of Terror, unquote. Every time I was brought back to both the official and the secret structures of Saudi finance. Every time I stumbled on the fraternity of the Muslim Brothers. Where does the money for this dangerous proselytism come from? Saudi Arabia and other oil monarchies allied with the United States. The greatest world power is fully aware of this development. Indeed, its intelligence agencies have encouraged it. The CIA and its Saudi and Pakistani homologues continue, as of 1999, to sponsor Islamism. Now, about the corporatist economic philosophy of the Muslim Brotherhood, again, an Islamic fascist organization allied with the Axis in World War II and jumping to Western intelligence, including CIA, to be used as anti-communist and now, after the Cold War, pro-corporatist cadre and proxy warriors. More from Dollars of Terror. Taking Italy's choices under Mussolini for its inspiration, the Brotherhood's economic program set three priorities. The social policy foresaw a new law on labor founded on corporations. This economic program would more directly reveal its relationship to totalitarian ideologies a few years later with the works of Mohammad Ghazali, G-H-A-Z-A-L-I. Ghazali recommended, quote, an economic regimen similar to that which existed in Nazi Germany and fascist Italy. The moral code is also an important component in this program, which is intended to create the new Muslim man, unquote. The notion of the equality of the sexes is inherently negated by the concept of the supremacy of male social responsibilities. The natural place of the woman is in the home. Again, that's quite explicit with fascism. More about the Muslim Brotherhood's economic agenda and, again, why it resonates sympathetically with the corporations. Newsweek magazine of July 3rd through 10th of 2006 has an article by Stephen Glain, G-L-A-I-N, Islam in Office. And it reads in part, skipping down, in Muslim liturgy, the deals cut in the souk become a metaphor for the contract between God and the faithful. And the business model Muhammad prescribed, according to Muslim scholars and economists, is very much in the laissez-faire tradition later embraced by the West. Prices were to be set by God alone, anticipating by more than a millennium Adam Smith's reference to the invisible hand, unquote, of market-based pricing, skipping down. The Muslim Brotherhood hails 14th century philosopher Ibn Khaldun as its economic god. That's IBN, second last name, K-H-A-L-D-U-N. Continuing. Anticipating supply-side economics, Khaldun argued that cutting taxes raises production and tax revenues, and that state control should be limited to providing water, fire, and free grazing land, the utilities of the ancient world. Apparently also Cleveland Bundy. Continuing, the World Bank has called Ibn Khaldun the first advocate of privatization. His founding influence is a sign of moderation. If Islamists in power ever do clash with the West, it won't be overcomers. And another article from NSFWCorp.com of June 5th of 2013, an article by Mark Ames, quoting in part the economic philosophy of Graham Fuller, former CIA station chief in Kabul, Afghanistan, and someone whose name crops up in a fundamental way with things like the Iran-Contra scandal and most recently with the Boston Marathon bombing. Ames writes, Fuller comes from the faction of CIA co-warriors who believed and apparently still believe that fundamentalist Islam, even in its radical jihadi form, does not pose a threat to the West for the simple reason that fundamentalist Islam is conservative, against social justice, against socialism and redistribution of wealth, and in favor of hierarchical socioeconomic structures. Socialism is the common enemy to both capitalist America and to Wahhabi Islam, according to Fuller. According to journalist Robert Dreyfuss's book, Devil's Game, Fuller explained his attraction to radical Islam in neoliberal libertarian terms. Quote, There is no mainstream Islamic organization with radical social views, he wrote. Classical Islamic theory envisages the role of the state as limited to facilitating the well-being of markets and merchants rather than controlling them. Islamists have always powerfully objected to socialism and communism. Islam has never had problems with the idea that wealth is unevenly distributed. More about Graham Fuller, this from the Washington Post of September 11th of 2004 by John Mintz and Douglas Farah, F-A-R-A-H, in search of friends among the foes. U.S. hopes to work with diverse groups. Some federal agents worry that the Muslim Brotherhood has dangerous links to terrorism, but some U.S. diplomats and intelligence officials believe its influence offers an opportunity for political engagement that could help isolate violent jihadists. Quote, it is a preeminent movement in the Muslim world, said Graham E. Fuller, a former CIA official specializing in the Middle East. It's something we can work with, unquote. And still more from Salon.com of January 25th of 2012 by Avi Asher Shapiro, A-S-H-E-R-S-C-H-A-P-I-R-O, the GOP Brotherhood of Egypt. This is after the Muslim Brotherhood brought them to power. This is after the Arab Spring brought the Muslim Brotherhood to power in Egypt. While Western alarmists often depict Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood as a shadowy organization with terrorist ties, the Brotherhood's ideology actually has more in common with America's Republican Party than with Al-Qaeda. Few Americans know it, but the Brotherhood is a free market party led by wealthy businessmen whose economic agenda embraces privatization and foreign investment while spurning labor unions and the redistribution of wealth. Like the Republicans in the U.S., the financial interests of the party's leadership of businessmen and professionals diverge sharply from those of its poor, socially conservative followers. The Brotherhood, which did not initially support the revolution that began a year ago, reaped its benefits, capturing nearly half the seats in the new parliament, which was seated this week, and vaulted its top leaders into positions of power. They promptly brought the Brotherhood to power, and the Brotherhood, as we looked at in For the Record 787, began networking right away with Al-Qaeda. So again, this is the economic philosophy that is at the foundation of the resonance between people like Grover Norquist and Karl Rove and the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, of the Machiavellian derivatives of this, New York Times, January 11th of 2015. In cold political terms, far-right and French president both gain, reads in part, the attacks have already sharpened his clash with far-right leader Marine Le Pen. That's French President François Hollande. Skipping down. The homegrown terrorism here, with its apparent links to Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State, will also be used by other far-right nationalist and anti-immigration movements in Europe, from the United Kingdom Independence Party to the Sweden Democrats and Germany's Pegida, patriotic Europeans against the Islamization of the West. So again, there is a Machiavellian aspect to this that should not be overlooked. Both sides will gain. The National Front will say, you see, we told you about those Islamists. We are your only hope. Join with us. And the Islamic fascists of the Muslim Brotherhood will say, in turn, reacting to the xenophobia, you see, we told you about these infidels. You can't trust them. They won't accept you. Your only hope is us. Join with us in our common struggle, blah, blah, blah. Same thing. Again, I mentioned that Mr. Erdogan was no moderate. See how bleepin' moderate this sounds to you. From ABC News, a Reuters story of November 24th of 2014, Turkish President Erdogan says gender equality, quote, contrary to nature during women's rights meeting. It reads in part, Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan has said that gender equality is contrary to nature, and feminists did not recognize the value of motherhood at a meeting on women's rights. The conservative president said women's, quote, delicate, unquote, nature meant it was impossible to place them on an equal footing with men. Again, that's the new Muslim man that was advocated by Mohammed Ghazali and the Brotherhood. Again, Erdogan is no moderate. He is an Islamist. Deutsche Welle of April 23rd of 2003 had an article about the Milli Görüş organization. Turkey offers support for controversial Islamic group. The rise of Turkish Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan and his AK party. Coming to power in a landslide victory last year, Erdogan styles his party as a moderate conservative group based on Muslim values. He has distanced himself from former Metro Nekmetin Erbakan, who founded the Islamic-influenced Welfare Party. And again, talking about Erbakan, again returning to dollars from terror. A second photograph in which Hitler is talking with Himmler hangs next to those of Nekmetin Erbakan and Jean-Marie Le Pen, leader of the Fascist National Front. Erbakan, head of the, this is by the way, on the wall of Ahmet Huber, a director of Bank Altakwa. Erbakan, and again, mentor to Erdogan, head of the Turkish Islamist Party of the Far, turned to Ahmet Huber for an introduction to the chief of the French Party of the Far Right. Exiting from the meeting which took place in September of 1995, Huber's two friends supposedly stated that they, quote, share the same view of the world, unquote, and expressed, quote, their common desire to work together to remove the last racist obstacles that still prevent the union of the Islamist movement with the national right of Europe. And about the use of Muslim Brotherhood proxy warriors in China, New York Times story January 14th of 2015. We talked about this in many programs, for the record, 548 among them. Edward Long writes in a story, Turks are held in plot to help Uyghurs leave China, and it reads in part, the police in Shanghai have arrested 10 Turkish citizens and 2 Chinese citizens and accused them of providing altered Turkish passports to Turkish to terrorist suspects from the western region of Xinjiang. And we've spoken about Muslim Brotherhood and Turkish, pan-Turkish support for the Uyghurs in Xinjiang province in many, many programs as well. And again, if some of this there's a lot of documentation in the description. If a lot of this seems incomprehensible, think about the Second World War. It was a very, very real war with American servicemen and women and those of other countries fighting and dying, and yet at the same time, powerful corporate and economic interests in this country and elsewhere in the West were very sympathetic to fascism, and they were actively supporting not only some of the fascist political parties in Europe, but were networked through cartels with the fascist combatants in Italy, Germany, and Japan. So again, they were working both sides of the fence. A similar dynamic is at work today. This concludes, for the record, program number 830. Machiavelli 2.0, The Paris Attacks and the Muslim Brotherhood. This has been recorded on January 18th of the year 2015. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.